In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. All right, King, you're up. My heart is racing and I'm anxious because I'm next in line at the pull-up bar in the Gresham Middle School gym. Go Gladiators. I'm a scrawny sixth grader completing the fourth station of the state-mandated physical fitness test. You remember it? Push-ups, sit-ups, sit and reach. I was especially terrible at that. And then finally, pull-ups. I come to the pull-up bar. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. This can only go poorly given my God-given frame. I don't remember how many pull-ups I managed. The best that I could hope for was about the 50th percentile for 12-year-olds. Delightfully average, in other words, was my best-case scenario. And the body weight exercises, they don't lie. It did not take many repetitions at all before the burn sets in. So I maybe eked out maybe one more rep, let go, and then hit the hardwood floor. It was this annual ritual through middle school, this fitness test. Forget that percentile chart that teachers had out. What really mattered was how you compared to your friends. And I was the kid that avoided that conversation, praying that the bell would ring for a class change, because I was nowhere near strong as my buddies. I imagine you got similar memories from school. Hopefully you had better results in PE than I did. The ways that we were educated formed us in ways that we didn't notice at the time. We know that there's a standard we should achieve. We know we're not strong enough. And in the end, all we care about is getting a decent grade so we don't get grounded. Inevitably, though, we're going to compare our performance with our friends so that we feel normal. And then, at least in my experience, some 10-plus years later when I'm in my 20s, I'm now practicing Lent as a Christian and practicing it with the same kind of outlook that I had when I was in school, focusing on the externals, focusing on my own performance. So I stand here this Ash Wednesday at the beginning of Lent 2023, inviting you to learn from my mistakes over the years. It took the better part of my 20s and then some to realize that Lent is not a spiritual fitness test with a semester grade at the end. We're not aiming for a certain number of pull-ups, comparing our performances with our friends. We all have a weak spiritual frame, each of us. We are made of dust. We run out of stamina even when we are turned toward holy things. It is good and right to practice Lenten disciplines because the Lord and His church today calls us to repentance. Repentance in tangible, physical, visible, practical ways. But He calls us to these things, neither that we would boast in any successes that we might have, nor despair of the predictable failures. No, He leads us along these ways because these means they draw us to Himself, and that's the goal. They place us on the royal way of the cross, and that's the call. They teach us in action and in deeds what the Lord revealed through words when He said, if you seek your life, you will lose it, but if you lose your life, you will save it. So may I suggest a different way of looking at Lent. What if Lent is not merely about surviving 40 days of self-denial? What if it's not about our personal spiritual success or failures? What if this season, the scriptures, the services, the disciplines, prayer, fasting, confession, almsgiving, what if all of these things are meant to lead us to freedom. Freedom in Christ that only Jesus can give. We need these words from the prophet Joel, these jarring words to get our attention. Not only because we're weak, But because we seek strength, we have sought freedom apart from Christ through the things of this world. The things of this world, they cannot lead us to freedom. And in fact, when we look for freedom in this world and in this life, we find that all the things that are promising us freedom don't lead us there. In fact, there's a lie underneath that promise, and it actually leads us into captivity. And so in pursuing freedom in the things of this world, we become captive to possessions, captive to our stomachs, captive to career goals, captive to the approval of others. So what if our Lord uses all the Lenten means necessary, not for some arbitrary individual assessment, but to lead us into the freedom that He only can give? So today we begin a pilgrimage, and I pray that you will begin to see this season as a pilgrimage to freedom in Christ, through Christ, to finding freedom through the means of grace and repentance. In a series of lectures on prayer and distraction, Father Maximus Konstas remarked that students, they're naturally enamored with the authority of their teacher and the methods of their teacher, while the teacher is less concerned with the specific assignments and more focused on their freedom. Father Konstas says, a real teacher does not deprive his disciples of their freedom, but helps them to assume and acquire their freedom. Our Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is the master teacher. And His teaching here on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, it leads us to freedom. Freedom to love God and love neighbor without that captivity of self-interest in the heart. Jesus does not focus on the surface of things, the superficial matters, the external features of spiritual practices. In fact, He lessens them. He even hides them away. His practical counsel on spiritual disciplines is the fulfillment of what the Lord spoke through the prophet Joel when the prophet said, "Rend your hearts and not your garments." Our Lord Jesus teaches us how to practice these spiritual disciplines so that through our offering of prayer, through the offering of our fasting, through the offering of almsgiving given to the poor that He loves, that we will live and we will love with a pure heart, cleansed of self-interest. And speaking of self-interest, we ought to keep that in mind, too, that there is the promise of freedom when we practice confession. Lent does indeed call us to self-examination and confession, but self-examination and confession, not navel-gazing, not endless navel-gazing. Because if your eye is only focused on your sin and you do not see your sin in the light of Christ's abundant life and His kingdom, you're going to be looking on the sin and it will be an abyss and it can be like spiritual vertigo. Obsessive preoccupation with sin apart from Christ could soon become disabling. But self-examination done in the presence of grace, now that brings inner liberation. This is why our Orthodox brothers and sisters describe the confession of sin as a bright sadness. A bright sadness. There is sadness when we look upon the places in our hearts, in our lives, these places that are unloving, that are not like Jesus at all. And yet, when I confess my sins to God, the God who is full of compassion, slow to anger, who is merciful, He shines His light in that darkness. Light shines, not only because confession is this unburdening, it's even more. The light of Christ is leading us out of darkness to walk in spiritual freedom. So remember what St. Paul said to the Galatian church this Ash Wednesday. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. We are set free to live for Christ, not for ourselves. And as St. Paul said, we are set free. As servants of God, then, we would commend ourselves to others in every way. By the grace of God, we are witnessing a spiritual awakening among college students at Asbury College. It's an awakening to Christ that has expanded to other college campuses. And in the midst of this spiritual renewal, we are hearing testimonies that students are confessing their sins. And in that confession and in that spirit of prayer and yearning for the word of the Lord, they're experiencing anew the joy of the Lord. Well, thanks be to God for it. I also think it's no coincidence that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit on college campuses nearby, this spiritual awakening that's grounded in scripture, prayer, confession of sin, it's occurring right before the Church Universal enters the season of repentance that is Lent. Well, may the Holy Spirit work through this season to bring His church into greater freedom and joy in Christ as He's bringing an awakening and a new freedom at Asbury and colleges around us. You know, if you seek the heart of things, if you seek the heart of Christ and to get to the heart of the matter with the disciplines, you may well come to the end of this season, Holy Week, Easter Sunday, even Eastertide, and you may look back on these days and say, why don't I live more like this the whole year round? Okay, by Easter, you may be ready for a break from the fast, especially if it stretched you, but having thrown off the dead weight of some bad habits, having pursued Christ with greater intention, you may experience life with a lighter spirit. You will find anew His yoke is easy, His burden is light. When you walk along the royal way of the cross with Jesus, paradoxically, it doesn't make sense. But our lives, they become rightly ordered. And we find, paradoxically, it doesn't make sense that the way of the cross is the only way to life and peace. So come all. Come sinners, poor and needy. Come who are weak and wounded. Come who are sick and sore. And join this Lenten pilgrimage that begins with ashes and leads us to freedom. Freedom that only comes through the victory that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And begin this pilgrimage with ashes on your forehead, placing all your hope in the Lord's great compassion, in the words that we heard and sang in Psalm 103, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows His compassion to those who fear Him, for He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Those are words that we need digested in our heart as we begin the day. They're true words for the Lord's heart for us. And we need them, especially before we hear that solemn truth about our mortality. And yet, in Lent 2023, remember, too, another psalm, Psalm 113. It was appointed for us just a week ago in the daily office. A very poignant psalm of promise for those approaching Ash Wednesday. For Psalm 113 speaks not only of our frailty, it speaks of the restored dignity and honor from our great fallenness. There the psalmist says, "The Lord raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Lifts them to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people." And so, yes, today, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. And also remember that Christ Jesus took up His cross, surrendered His body to the hardwood of the cross to redeem the dust that is our bodies. That through the resurrection that we'll celebrate some 40 days from now, that we will walk in greater freedom. Freedom that belongs, that is the very inheritance, to royal sons and daughters who walk the royal way of the cross. For He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.